Chapter 100, Self-Conquest. Christ said, "My child, thou wilt never face a greater battle than the battle against thy unreasoning feelings and desires. These are thy passions. They are thy most stubborn and most dangerous enemies. This blind and lower self within thee is so close to thee that it is almost invisible to thee. It tries to make thee think and feel its way instead of my way. Treat this lower self as an enemy. Acts of mortification will help thee to advance in self-control. I will strengthen thy efforts with my grace. The fight for self-control is harder than bodily or mental labors. Thy lower self is more determined in pursuing what it wants than thy will is in seeking me. Self will start with a mild desire and gradually develop a strong habit. Thou must fight what is bad from the very first time it appears in thy life. If thou cannot overcome evil when it is small and weak, how wilt thou ever conquer it after it has become a strong habit? True peace of soul is found not in the surrendering, but in controlling thy desires and appetites. Control means using things according to my laws of reason and revelation. Self-control requires determination and even violence to self in opposing what is wrong. Do this, and thou wilt prove true loyalty to me. Think. My daily life is really a battle, with opposing forces arising both inside and outside of me. My most dangerous enemies in this battle are the enemies within the gates, the blind, unreasoning desires deep within me. They are never quite dead, never completely satisfied. The real I is seen in what my will chooses to follow, either the law of intelligence and faith, or the law of pride and blind feelings. Prayer, sacraments, and mortification are the weapons which will overcome the enemy. The battle will become much harder if I allow any bad habit to grow strong. Relying on God's grace and following the directions of His church, I will conquer sin and advance in virtue each day. Pray. My King and Savior, You overcame temptation and sin to give me a holy example and to bring me grace to follow Your example. Make me a loyal follower of Yours in this daily battle against my proud and selfish human nature. I hope in Your assistance, and I will begin this day to practice mortification wherever possible. I shall keep trying, to live an intelligent life, a life of obedience to Your all-wise will. Let me subdue the dangerous enemy within me by frequent mortification. Amen." Chapter 101, Examples of Self-Conquest. Christ said, "My child, read the lives of my saints, and thou wilt learn a great deal about life's daily battle. Why were they so loyal to me? Because they had grasped the secret of all success in this fight for heaven. They saw the infinite goodness and lovableness of God and the passing nature of all earthly joys and satisfaction. Their main interest was to follow my will in everything and to mortify every contrary feeling and desire within them. When they noticed a fault, they started fighting it at once by doing the opposite of that inclination. They overcame their faults by positive action. If they were guilty of pride, they looked for a chance to be humiliated, and they thanked me for sending these opportunities to them. Thou must become that interested in thy perfection. At present, thou'lt hardly conquer a single fault in many years. Thou fear the discomfort and inconvenience of the fight against self. The slightest unpleasant experience puts thee on the defensive for thy rights and for the things thou like. I am ready to help thee the moment thou make up thy mind to begin in earnest the fight for heaven. Think. Yes, I am still in favor of my blind, unreasoning desires. When will I imitate the saints by an honest daily effort to get rid of my faults? How shall I wish at the last judgment that I had done so? On that day I shall rejoice if I have honestly tried to follow Christ my King. how quickly the pains of the battle will be forgotten when I receive the congratulations of all God's blessed. How grateful I shall be to God as I look at the misery and woe of those on the left side, those who lived only for self. Pray. My Jesus, you showed your divine power to the apostles by commanding the winds and the waves. Command the tempests of selfishness within me, and let me become at last empty of this false and hurtful self-love. True love seeks what is good. Let me have true love for myself, that is, let me seek what is really good for me and for others. My true good lies in your holy will, because you know what is best for me. Free me from my passions and my unreasonable desires. Purify my soul and make me brave enough to suffer anything rather than sin again. Amen. Chapter 102, Mistaken Self-Love. Christ said, "My child, here is the secret of all perfection. Forget self-interest and follow my will in all things. Thou want what thou consider good for thee, but thou art often wrong in thy calculations. I want what is really best for thee, and I am never mistaken. If thou want to be the kind of person I want thee to be, learn my truth and do my will, then leave the rest to me." Every human fault arises from a mistaken self-love. Men overcome their faults only as far as they really abandon their selfishness and follow me. Some make a half-hearted effort, and some make a 90% effort, but only a few make a full effort with no reservations. If thou gave all of thy goods to the poor without giving thy heart to me, thou have done nothing as far as eternal life is concerned. Even great penance means nothing unless thou art determined to fight against thy faults. There is no substitute for true virtue. The basis of true virtue lies in this, that thou accept and prefer my will in all things. Thou art not so wise as thou think. Thou do not always know what is truly best for thee. No man is richer, no one is happier, than he who loves my will in all things. Empty thy heart of every other desire, and place thy daily life in my hands. Work and pray, and do all that is right and good for thee. When things do not go as thou desire, do what thou can to remedy them. After thou hast done all that is common sense demands, accept the results as my will. Think. Here is the key to God's peace, and yet I hesitate to use it. Can God be mistaken? Can he be wrong? Why do I not find his peace within me? It is simply because I have not yet succeeded in placing my life in his hands. I am not quite sure that he will do what I would like, yet I know that he loves me more than I love myself. He wants what is surely good for me, not merely some deceptive good thing. Do I want to look out for myself, even if it means committing a sin here and there? Sin hurts me far more than I realize. Pray. My Jesus, show me how to begin at last a life of obedience and loyalty to your will. Let me forget self and become more unselfish with those around me. Wherever I can, I hope to do things for others. Sin must be hated for what it is, self-deception and stupidity. How can I ever do what is wrong, knowing that it hurts me and offends you? I will try, with your help, to live my daily life as a true and loyal follower of yours. What you forbid is forbidden because it is bad for me. How can I ever insist on sinning again? You have proven your love for me in 1,000 ways. I hope to prove my love for you by trying to act as you want me to act in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 103, Fear of Suffering. Christ said, "My child, as long as thou art afraid to suffer, thou wilt not possess my peace." This fear will make it too difficult for thee to follow my will. In many things thou wilt sin and do what is bad for thee. Be loyal to me if thou want my peace on earth and happiness unending in heaven. Be loyal to my will, whether I send what thee like or what thou dislike. For my sake, live thy daily life bravely, even when it involves hardship and suffering. Many pursue an imaginary happiness. When they get what they want, they soon find out that it does not bring them the joy which they had expected. They gradually tire of it, and the search for happiness is on again. Do not blame the place where you are, nor the people around thee, if thou do not have peace of soul. If thou went elsewhere and met new people, thou wouldst still be the same thee, with the same old faults and defects. Thou might become a changed man, but thou would not necessarily be a better man. As soon as the old situations arose, thou wouldst still have to fight the battle from which thou ran away. Being better means overcoming thy faults, not putting them to sleep by avoiding disagreeable circumstances. The change which thou must make is a change within thyself. Begin today with the help of my grace. Make a continual effort to mortify self-love. Think. Until I have overcome my faults, I can never be sure when they will flare up again and make me offend God. I must try to face situations in which I can practice the virtues opposed to my faults. If I am an impatient person, I should look for opportunities to practice patience. So too with other faults. Only action will prove what faults I have and which virtues I need. The man who is afraid of inconvenience or suffering will never advance in virtue. He lacks the courage to face the unpleasant situation which can strengthen his virtue. True, I am not to look for occasions of sin, but I can find many an ordinary condition of my daily life which can act as a normal test of virtue. Pray. My Jesus, only practice will perfect my soul. Only action can show me how far I have developed the graces which you have sent me. Do not let me go on avoiding the unpleasant situations which are a necessary part of my life. Let me face them and deal with them as you want me to. Where I should be unselfish or humble or patient or trusting in you, let me practice these virtues. I refuse to go on living with my faults. I wish to begin at last to attack them by practicing the opposite virtues. As opportunities arise, let me recognize them and use them for your sake. Amen. Chapter 104, The Gift of Grace. Christ said, My child, when I give thee actual graces, thy mind receives holy thoughts, thy will has good desires, and thou feel drawn toward me. Such graces are special gifts of mine. They help thee to rise above earthly attractions and worldly satisfactions. Never oppose my actual graces, but follow them and use them faithfully. Thou wilt then prove thy loyalty to me, and thou wilt merit still greater graces. By prayer, sacraments, self-denial, and self-conquest, thy spiritual life will grow. Little by little, a marvelous change will come over thy thinking, thy desires, and thy actions. Thou wilt be living a holier life, a life more like mine. In baptism, I gave thee sanctifying grace, by which the Holy Trinity became thy guest. My divine love was placed within thee to make thee worthy of heaven. No matter what wonderful things a man may do, unless my sanctifying grace is in him, his accomplishments are merely human, and their glory will one day fade away. No arts, no strength, no beauty, no genius, no eloquence, nothing on earth, be it ever so admirable, is worthy of heaven until it has been elevated and purified by sanctifying grace. Natural gifts and talents are possessed by both good and bad people. Sanctifying grace, however, is possessed only by the good, and it makes them worthy of heaven. So great a gift is this grace that neither the power of miracles, the gift of prophecy, nor any other gift or talent can compare with it. This grace changes a man and makes him more like me. Without it, man remains bound to earth and controlled by his human nature. Think, the grace of God, next to God Himself, this is my most precious possession. With His actual graces, God speaks to me, draws me on toward my true eternal greatness, and gives me strength to do supernatural, godlike deeds. In the unbaptized adult, and in the soul which has sinned seriously, it takes one or more actual graces to bring sanctifying grace to the soul. With sanctifying grace, one becomes a temple of God, with the Blessed Trinity dwelling within the soul. This privilege makes the unworthy sinner worthy of heaven, makes the weak strong, and bestows on the person a dignity which no earthly power or position can give. The more I make use of actual graces, the more do I increase the sanctifying grace within me. This makes me a closer friend of God, stronger against temptations, and deserving of a still higher place in heaven. Pray. My loving Creator and Father, I am unable to do anything worthy of heaven unless Your grace enlightens, strengthens, and assists me in my thoughts, desires, words, and actions. Only with Your help can I do what You desire of me. Without Your grace, I am helpless against the slightest temptations. May I never neglect the actual graces which You send me throughout the day. I hope to turn my back on whatever threatens to deprive me of sanctifying grace. As long as this grace is with me, You Yourself are my constant companion. With You, I wish to walk safely each hour of the day toward heaven's eternal happiness. Amen. Chapter 105, Nature versus Grace. Christ said, "My child, I want thee to become a spiritual man, that is, one who is wise enough to recognize the various forms of self-deception and the many graces which come thy way each day. There is in thy nature a deep selfishness which does not always seek what is really good for thee. It often wants what merely seems good. Listen to me and learn the difference between the mistaken desires of nature and the truly good desires which I send by my grace. Nature is selfish. It will try to enjoy everything on earth and still gain heaven. Even where sin is involved, nature attempts to make excuses for self and looks for reasons to favor self. Grace simply looks for my will, turning away from all occasions of sin and self-deception. Nature hates all restraint. It wants to follow its own likes, its own desires, and its own will. Grace is interested in self-control, self-conquest, and obedience to authority. It seeks to please me in everything and in every way. It looks for opportunities to suffer something more for my sake. Nature is interested in self. It works for its own interests. In whatever it does, it looks to its own advantage and profit. Grace follows my interests. It tries to help as many people as possible and leaves all self-interest in my hands. Nature loves honor and respect. Grace accepts all honor and respect in my name and offers them to me, knowing that without me, man is nothing. Nature is afraid of shame, contempt, or insults. Grace does not mind such things because it cannot forget how much shame, contempt, and insults I embraced for the sins of men. Nature loves bodily ease and comfort. Grace loves to keep busy so that it may present a fuller life to me." Think, seeing these differences between nature and grace, I ought to become more eager to do things for God and to forget this selfish nature of mine. Pray. O Holy Ghost, giver of grace, and sanctifier of all men, I wish that I could give you the unselfish devotion and loyalty which you deserve. You are my God. So often throughout the day you send me good thoughts and holy desires. How long will I go on paying so little attention to your holy inspirations? Grant that I may become wise in the ways of nature and grace. Let me become what I should have been long before now. I want now to follow what you desire of me. When you show me sin in my daily life, let me hate it and avoid it. When you tell me how I am to live, let me not be a coward who puts things off. My God, lead me on toward heaven's glorious life, each hour of the day. Amen. Chapter 106, Grace versus Nature. Christ said, "My child, nature reaches out for things which are attractive or curiosities. It is repelled by what is ordinary and inexpensive. Grace refuses to be drawn too strongly to anything on earth. It deliberately chooses ordinary things and even unattractive things so that it may not become too distracted from me in daily life. Nature easily rejoices at gaining and winning things, but frets at any loss. Grace is not so easily troubled if it loses some worldly advantage, nor is it so disturbed when it must give up an earthly gain. Nature is irritated at unkind and harsh words, but grace knows how to keep an even temper in the face of cruel and mean persons. Nature prefers to receive rather than to give. It likes to have little privileges. Grace is more ready to give than to receive. It tries to avoid privileges and even prefers to have less than others, so as to be more like me, the King of Sacrifice. Think. All of this is actually happening in my life. At times, I am too blind to realize what is going on within me and around me. I do not always want to do what God desires of me. At every step, the battle goes on, the battle of blind selfishness versus the grace of God in my soul, the fight of evil against goodness. Only when I am asleep is this warfare quiet. Pray. My God, how important even little things seem when I hear you interpret them in the light of eternity. So often what I consider a small matter is really big because it is a choice between my will and yours. Nothing is little, nothing is unimportant, nothing is insignificant in my daily life. What I think, do, or say shows what I want and what I am trying to be. Make me more aware of your presence in my life. If I see you more clearly, I will be more willing to forget self and to follow your holy will. Grant me grace to be more for you and less for this blind and unreasoning self within me. Amen." Chapter 107, Nature and Grace. Christ said, "My child, nature wants to have plenty of what it likes. It is not satisfied with only just enough. Grace seeks only what it needs to live a good life. Nature wants many friends and companions. It prefers those who have power and flatters those who can give favors. Grace loves all people. It even wishes the welfare of enemies. It honors all men according to their position. It favors most those who are truly in need of help. It honors goodness more than goods. It respects virtue more than talent. Nature easily complains of what it wants and troubles. Grace is silent before people. It presents its needs first to me. Nature judges each thing according to how it helps self in its earthly life. Grace values each thing according to how it helps man to follow my will. Nature holds on to its own opinions. It will fight and dispute against anyone who seems to challenge its imagined greatness. Grace offers its opinions simply, discusses without resentment, and leaves to me those who disagree. Nature is curious to know the secrets of others. Grace prefers to know what my words are and to avoid needless distractions. Think. How repulsive my nature can be when it is not controlled. It can make life miserable for me and for the people around me. Grace draws people toward God. It spreads love and happiness wherever it reigns. When grace becomes the ruling force in my daily life, I shall have the wonderful peace of Christ. My peace will spread to those around me, and their life will be better because they have known me. Pray. Holy Ghost, God of peace and joy, I lay my life at your feet. Do with me whatever you wish. Empty this heart of selfishness and fill it with grace. Shine out in me so that those around me may feel your holy presence in their life. Let them become better because they have known me. All this you will do if only I can learn at last your glorious lesson of grace. Help me to let your divine will rule my life every moment of the day. Not my feelings, not my earthly self-love, but your holy wisdom and grace must lead me along. Lead on, my God. I hope to act as you wish in all things today. Amen. Chapter 108. The Control of One's Desires. Christ said, My child, the moment thou desire anything too much, thou lose my gift of peace. The proud and the covetous are never at peace. The poor in spirit, the humble man, enjoys a heavenly peace of soul. To set thy life in order, thou must begin from within. Begin with thy desires. Allow thyself to want only what I want thee to have. Do not desire what is not for thee. Why desire things which will tie thy heart too much to this earth? Surrender thyself to my will, and thou wilt gain a victory over all earthly things. Examine thy desires. Even when they seem good and holy, they can hurt thee by demanding too much attention, and so preventing thee from fulfilling thy duties and obligations. I want thee to have the freedom of my true followers. Love my wisdom and choose my will, and thou wilt never be downcast if thy plans or thy friends fail thee. So long as thou have done thy honest best, believe firmly that I am pleased with thee. This above all must thou desire, to please me in all things. Think, my true perfection is based on God's word and his grace. With his help I can gain a self-control far beyond anything dreamed by worldly men. This control is needed even in things which are good and holy in themselves. I must look first to my duties and obligations. Any holiness which makes me neglect these is not from God. Over-eagerness brings anxiety, fear, and nervousness. It makes me less able to do my duties. It diminishes my recollection and interior peace, and makes me more subject to impatience, anger, and rash judgments. Uncontrolled desires and intentions can make me fall into sin. They can make me imprudent, so that I may try to help others too much. Others may resent my help and, because of me, refuse to do what is right. Pray. My Jesus, let me do your work for your sake, and not for my own pride and self-satisfaction. As long as I want what you want, I will act prudently and safely. Let me not try to rush what must be done slowly. If I fret at my failures, I am working for myself and not for you. Your will is to be done, not mine. I hope to attempt all the good within my reach, but I will not be over-anxious about the results. If I lose my presence of mind and my peace of soul, it is because I am thinking more of your work than of your will. I need only do my best. The rest depends on the people around me and your grace. Let me never think that I am bigger than you. I now put all things into your hands. Amen. Chapter 109, Controlling One's Own Opinion. Christ said, My child, everybody likes to follow his own way of thinking. Every man prefers to associate with those who agree with his ideas. Yet it is so foolish for thee to think too highly of thy own opinion. Nobody knows all the answers. The man who is always talking does not advance much in knowledge. A good listener will always learn more than the one who talks too much. It is not always necessary to point out the mistakes of others. Even when thou know better, thou need not always express thy opinion. In fact, many discussions are unnecessary and unimportant. So often, too, opinions depend on people's likes and dislikes. Why argue when it is not an important matter? To those who know how to control their tongues for my sake, I grant the grace of interior peace. Do not love thy own opinions too much. Be humble enough to seek advice when thou need it. Do not try to be independent of all other opinions. Different opinions may bring thee a broader understanding of thyself as well as of others. Think. At times I must hold my tongue for the sake of peace. Many unimportant things are said and done in daily life. It is my pride that makes me want to correct people at the slightest opportunity. Corrections are unnecessary in many things. I should not place too much confidence in my own sentiments and opinions. In small, unimportant matters, I do no harm by keeping silent and listening to opinions which do not agree with mine. It takes a deep humility and a delicate charity to act in this way. Pray. O Jesus, King of Truth, help me to preserve peace and harmony among those around me. Teach me to work and labor for what is right. Let me never listen in silence to what is contrary to your teachings or hurtful to my neighbor or my own soul. Yet, show me how to be considerate of others' feelings and opinions as far as it can be done without compromising your truth. Grant me the humility to follow advice when necessary. Let me love your truth more than my own opinions. Amen. Chapter 110. Love of Solitude. Christ said, "My child, let me show thee the great value of prayerful solitude. When thou converse with men, thou often come away with useless distractions, false ideas, and unwanted desires. When thou communicate with me, thy understanding of life is deepened, and thy outlook is broadened. Human conversation usually ties thy thoughts to this earthly life, but talking with me raises thy thoughts above the narrow limits of thy mortal existence. Human conversations often bring an exaggerated esteem for the passing glories of earth. Heavenly conversation brings a clearer vision of the eternal glory which awaits thee. Come aside and rest a while in my company. Do this as often as thou can during the day. Learn to appreciate my friendship in solitude. This will make it easier for thee to keep a holy intention in thy activities, a clear conscience, and peace of mind. Love to pray and labor unseen by humans, and thou wilt discover many little ways of pleasing me more. My light falls on prayerful hearts like seed falling on rich soil. It is easier to control thy thoughts and desires by staying at home than by going out too often. Frequent visiting and going out bring too many distractions. Thou cannot safely appear in public until thou have developed a love for solitude. In prayerful solitude, thou wilt receive a deep appreciation of thy heavenly goal in life. The man of prayer speaks when speech is useful to himself or his neighbor. He will not waste his energy and squander his thoughts in idle conversation. Think, what a marvelous interior knowledge and power will be mine when I have learned to enjoy holy reading and meditation on the things of God. I will share his thoughts and follow his all-wise will. In prayerful solitude, I can find the light and strength to live a holy and truly successful life on earth. Pray. My ever-present God, I hope to turn to you at different times throughout the day to tell you whatever is in my thoughts. Grant that I may gradually become more and more conscious of your nearness to me and of your loving interest in whatever concerns me. Let me turn to you as easily as I turn to my human friends. I need this grace in order to live a truly virtuous life. Help me, Lord, to develop a livelier prayer life in my daily activities. Amen. Chapter 111. The Virtue of Silence. Christ said, "My child, there are times when thou ought to keep to thyself and avoid conversation. There is no profit in unkind talk, rash talk, or indecent talk. What is the good of wasting time with idle disputes or with boasting? True, there are times when light conversation brings needed relief and necessary recreation. But talk which does not help the speaker or the listener to live a better life is a shameful waste of precious time, time which will never return. Think before thou speak, and thou wilt never regret thy words. The spoken word cannot be recalled. It is not always possible to undo the harm caused by thoughtless talk. Many saints have avoided the company of men whenever possible in order to enjoy a closer union with me. One of them once remarked, "As often as I have gone among men, I returned less a man." Isn't this true of thee when thou talk too long? It is easier to keep silence altogether than to stop talking when thou should. In silence I shall speak to thee with less interruptions. My words will come in the form of ideas, desires, intentions, and resolutions which arise within thy soul. Thou wilt hear my voice with less distraction. Love silence and learn to use it well. Then wilt thou draw closer to me as I am close to thee. Think. Silence is truly a virtue when practiced for God. In developing a love for silence, I will learn a deeper wisdom, a broader outlook on everything, everyday life, and a brighter vision of God's nearness and love. In human conversations, I will listen more and talk less. I will learn more and make fewer judgments and fewer mistakes. People will respect my judgments more because I will think before speaking. Each time I open my mouth, I will do so for a definite purpose, a good purpose. God's wisdom will take the place of my human folly, and my words will help those who hear me. Pray. Dear Holy Spirit, my God, teach me to talk well and wisely. Let me avoid useless conversations. Help me to speak often for you. Grant that my words may never hurt men of good will. May my words always bring consolation to those in sorrow, guidance to those who are confused, light to the ignorant, hope to those who despair, comfort to those who are troubled, and good advice to those in need. Take my lips and make them yours. Take possession of my mind and make it an instrument of your goodness and a channel of your truth. I hope to become a man of silence, that is, one who prefers to talk to God rather than to men. In my human conversations, may I always bring you closer to them and them closer to you. Amen. Book 2, The Way of Imitation. This is the second stage in one's spiritual development. In abandoning his serious faults and his predominant venial sins, the spiritual beginner has laid a solid foundation of many virtues. In a sense, however, his spiritual growth thus far has been a negative sort of thing, that is, he has advanced in the various virtues by resisting the faults to which they were opposed. Christ's follower is now invited to rise to a higher degree of union with God. He is to do this by imitating the example which Christ set in his earthly life. Jesus said, "He that sees me sees the Father also." Therefore, the more Christ-like one becomes in his daily life, the more God-like will he be. This second level of the supernatural life is known as the illuminative way, the way of enlightenment. By drawing closer to Christ in friendship, man comes to understand God more clearly and appreciate him more fully. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Learn of me." Christ's follower must now take his eyes away from himself for longer periods, so that he may concentrate more and more upon his King and model. He no longer practices the various virtues of daily life to oppose his faults, but to show Christ a greater love and loyalty. Part 1, Following Jesus in Daily Life, Learning of Christ. Chapter 1, Knowledge and Wisdom. Christ said, "My child, those who follow me do not walk in darkness. With me there is neither guesswork nor error. I have given thee an example of my daily life." In order that thou might not misunderstand my example and my words, I founded my church to explain them. To keep thee from the torture of doubts and from all foolish extremes, I promise to preserve my church from error in her religious and moral teachings. Follow me, and thou wilt be walking the path to eternal life. Do not let thy emotions confuse thy thinking. Control thy foolish pride, and let me guide thee through my church. She will speak thy language and will prevent thee from misunderstanding my teachings. By a frequent use of my sacraments, thou wilt gain a deeper appreciation of my truth. Many are deaf to my voice. They say that they follow me without any human stepping stone. These people are deceiving themselves. They are simply too proud to submit themselves to the human guides whom I set over them. Their religion consists only of what they understand or like to find convenient. I do not want self-made men among my followers. Mere human judgments are too feeble to follow. My teachings without error, and mere human strength is too weak to obey my commandments without the supernatural help of my grace. Sincerity is no substitute for truth and right. True, I want thee to follow thy conscience in thy daily life, but without my church thou wilt not always be sure that thy conscience is correct. Come, follow me in thy daily life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In me thou wilt find the most important knowledge of life, and the only sure way to eternal happiness. Learn my truth and follow my example in thy daily life, and thy reward will be greater than words can ever express. Meditate often upon my earthly life. As far as thou knowest, imitate me in thy daily activities. With me thou wilt have peace and a daily progress towards heaven's eternal joy. Think. Christ wants no guesswork, but a sure course of action. The King of Truth wants his followers to possess the truth. He speaks to me through the scriptures, the Christian tradition, my prayers, and the circumstances of daily life. I can learn the true interpretation of these things from his church. It is not always easy to be sure what God desires of me. Even my good intentions may lead me astray into ridiculous extremes. Only Christ's church can guide me with certainty. When she speaks, Christ speaks. He promised to be with her all days until the end of the world. A true follower of Christ will look to his church for the knowledge and wisdom of Christ. Pray. My Jesus, I thank you for leaving me your church. I see so many sects which claim to have your blessing and support, yet they contradict one another in many doctrines. You have granted me the favor of knowing your one true apostolic church. She still stands today, after centuries of opposition and persecution. The many attempts of Satan to destroy her have failed, as you promised they would. Empires have risen and fallen, but your church goes on, telling the world your holy teachings and commandments. You still speak through her, offering truth and wisdom to all men. Let me always follow her guidance in all matters of faith and morals. Amen. At the conclusion of the music, please go to the next tape.